I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative networks, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
He said you were involved.
He said you were
involved.
You
were.
You are racist.
He said he worked.
You are very racist.
He said he
you're going to be dealt with.
He said he works.
It's going to come to light who you really are. It's going to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, January 20th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride, but it's Friday. We made it to Friday. Does it matter? Is that a thing? Does Friday mean something? Well, it's Friday. We made it to Friday. So let us dive in, shall we, and get started. I'll try not to be too full of doom and gloom. Maybe even uplifting. Let's start with Oswald Chambers, shall we? Oswald Chambers' entry for yesterday, my utmost for his highest, yesterday's entry, which is titled Vision and Darkness. And Chambers cites Genesis 15:12, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. Chambers writes, whenever God gives a vision to a saint, he puts him, as it were, in the shadow of his hand. And the saint's duty is to be still and listen. There is a darkness which comes from excess of light. And then is the time to listen. Genesis 16 is an illustration of listening to good advice when it is dark, instead of waiting for God to send the light. When God gives a vision and darkness follows, wait. God will make you in accordance with the vision he has given if you will wait his time. Never try and help God fulfill his word. Abraham went through 13 years of silence, but in those years all self-sufficiency was destroyed. There was no possibility left of relying on common sense ways. Those years of silence were a time of discipline, not of displeasure. Never pump up joy and confidence, but stay upon God. And cross-reference to Isaiah 50, verses 10 and 11. Have I any confidence in the flesh, or have I got beyond all confidence in myself and in men and in women of God, in books and prayers and ecstasies? And is my confidence placed now in God Himself, not in His blessings? I am the Almighty God, El Shaddai, the Father, Mother God, the one thing for which we are all being disciplined is to know that God is real. As soon as God becomes real, other people become shadows. Nothing that other saints do or say can ever perturb the one who is built on God. So, very interesting. God will make you in accordance with the vision He has given if you will wait His time. Never try to help God fulfill His word. Never pump up joy and confidence, but stay upon God. Have I any confidence in the flesh, or have I got beyond all confidence in myself, in men and women of God, in books and prayers and ecstasies? And is my confidence placed now in God Himself, not in His blessings? The one thing for which we are all being disciplined is to know that God is real. As soon as God becomes real, other people become shadows. Interesting stuff. What I have intended to do, you know, again, a lot of this stuff sounds like Sunday morning type stuff, I would say. But I intend to present the contrast. You know, there's the historical aspect of a lot of this stuff that is biblically oriented. I think that's incredibly important. There is a battle that is being waged now. It's going on now. Primarily, I would say, of a spiritual nature, but that has been waged for a long, long time. Years, decades, generations, centuries, millennia, it goes back. Why are we so enamored culturally with the Greco-Roman elements and Neoplatonism and those kinds of things? And so in relation to that, this is more of a contrasting, you know, bringing that historical theme forward and demonstrating the contrast presently today between what passes itself off as Christianity, which by and large is not, and what is true Christianity. And that, I would say, is what is typified or exemplified in what I just read. This complete reliance on God. And how does that look, practically speaking? How does one walk that out, so to speak? I think you hear in that entry of Oswald Chambers how that looks and how that works. But that's entirely, it's, you know, it's almost antagonistic to the American experiment, the American dream, and all of that. They're almost antithetical to one another in a sense. You know, there are some, and I would number myself among them, who would argue that actually the American dream is much more humble than, you know, the presumption in this context. But what you see in the limelight, particularly these days, is very sensational, very hyperbolic in nature. And I would say very addiction-based. It's not something that is stable and enduring of itself. You know, you think about all of the cultural aspects, for example, the binge watching of things and the way that technology sort of feeds that, or the monetary system, or, you know, even speaking of Christianity, what passes itself off as Christianity, the church experience operates much the same way, you know, and there is a whole self-help subculture in that environment. And that, of course, is married up very, very closely to the Maltzian psycho-cybernetics and the Freudian psychoanalysis. And it has an addictive nature to it. How many people read one book and that's it? I got it figured out. I'm done. And isn't it interesting that usually that is, again, separate and distinct from the biblical. You have the Bible and you have all these other things, and typically ne'er the twain shall meet. They are, as the attorneys say, mutually exclusive. And the one, you know, the Bible is, it is what it is. It's a bedrock, a foundational. You don't need anything else. You read that, that's enough. Yeah, but you're reading Chambers. Yeah, that's because it's, you know, for this broadcast, it's, you know, perhaps more user-friendly version, a condensed but more user-friendly version, if that makes sense. And then you have all of this other stuff that is a you know, burgeoning cottage industry. It certainly has been for the last 100 years plus. And it never ends. Feeds on itself, never ends. For some reason, it's kind of like social media. You end up feeling like I'm just not quite up to snuff. I wonder why that is. So it's interesting how that works. And so there's the contrast a little bit sort of spoken to. Anyway, I want to dive into the news and the headlines, including audience submissions. So when you get emails from people on the same thing, namely Jacinda Ardern's resignation, multiple emails, including Larry and David, and you know, and there is the article on RBN now from Zero Hedge. Ardern out, tearful New Zealand Prime Minister unexpectedly announced resignation. I want to talk about that for a minute, but first, I think we will begin with Sky News Australia's Andrew Bolt's, what I would call, hot take on it. You can find it on YouTube, titled "Ardern's Resignation Marks a Failure of Woke Politics." So, go ahead, please.
Bombshell news from New Zealand, the fall of the poster child of the international left, loved overseas, but now on the nose at home and behind on the polls. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern decides to quit rather than fight the next election in 10 months' time.
This summer, I had hoped to find a way to prepare not just for another year, but another term, because that is what this year requires. I have not been able to do that. And so today I'm announcing that I will not be seeking re-election, and that my term as Prime Minister will conclude no later than the 7th of February. I know what this job takes, and I know that I no longer have enough in the tank.
Now, Ardern also said something today that showed why she was admired by the woke, the kind of people more interested in seeming than doing.
How would you like New Zealanders to review
you? As someone who always tried to be kind.
Now, that's lovely, but it's the kind of emoting that made leftists around the world, especially Australia, treat her as a hero, almost a saint. Here's our treasurer, Jim Chalmers, today.
We are talking about an incredible source of strength at home in New Zealand and a source of remarkable inspiration around the world.
It is something Conservatives know very well it's one thing to seem good. It is a very different thing to actually do it. And that is why Ardern was leading her Labor government to defeat, according to recent polls. Yes, Ardern could wear Islamic head coverings and show great empathy and genuine compassion after the terrible massacres of Muslims in Christchurch by a far-right extremist. And I think that's probably the image that many people overseas will have of her. But wanting to seem good made Ardern do things that were bad and have made her Labor Party less popular now than the National Party and its ally, the Libertarian ACT Party. For instance, Ardern wanted to seem kind to the 17% of New Zealanders who identify as Maori. What she's done is racist and undemocratic, introducing legislation, for instance, giving the Maori 17% minority an equal say with a much larger non-Maori New Zealand population over the country's water resources. She also created a new Maori health authority, the first step to a divided health system, divided by race. Now, obviously, that division, not surprisingly, is turning out to be unpopular. And I hope that's a warning to the Albanese government. It's also pushing for racial division. Ardern also wanted to seem kind by spending more, a lot more. But inflation now is at a 32-year high, and she couldn't manage what she spent either. Her Kiwi Build scheme, just one example, a scheme to build 100,000 homes by 2028, so far managed less than 1,500. Ardern also wanted to seem kind by cracking down on so-called hate speech. She seemed to tell the United Nations that she wanted more censorship, particularly of the internet.
This will also be important in understanding more about mis and disinformation online, a challenge that we must, as leaders, address.
And Ardern's government has effectively stifled debate. For instance, she set up a public interest journalism fund to give media companies $55 million, a lot of it channeled to programs backing Ardern's race agenda. No wonder so many outlets are so tame. The government even shopped around for far-fetched excuses to ban an anti-lockdown Australian journalist from visiting New Zealand just because it didn't agree with his opinions. So it turns out that being kind can mean being a bully. And, of course, Ardern wanted to seem kind by pretending to save the planet from global warming. But she's just spread baseless fear by declaring a climate emergency with bizarre predictions of climate doom.
See increased risk to human health and livelihood, civil unrest, mass drought, mass disease, loss of lands and homes, increased fires, increased tropical storms, mass human displacement and globally exhausted resources.
Ardern followed up this hysterical scaremongering, the planet will end, Armageddon. She followed it up last year by announcing a tax on cows and sheep because they're burps and farts allegedly caused dangerous global warming. But it was just another useless gesture because New Zealand, of course, is so small that it can't make any difference at all to the climate. And farmers were naturally furious and they held mass protests and support for Labor kept falling. And if you wonder why Ardern is more popular overseas than she is at home, it's simple. Foreigners see Ardern seeming nice. They see the gesture. But New Zealanders, they pay the price. And there are other factors too behind the fall of Ardern's popularity, despite all that media barracking, prolonged COVID lockdowns, rising crime, etc., etc. Now, it's true that Ardern also did do good things, and I'm sure she always meant well. She certainly had that charm that we saw again at a press conference today when she called out to a partner in the audience.
And to Clark, let's finally get married.
But be clear, Ardern's resignation marks a failure of woke politics. Now, whether it'll be reported that way is irrelevant. As we now see, however things are made to seem, though, the reality will come out.
Hopefully. Stick around, we'll be right back after this short break.
Congress is planning to give the Pentagon a raise. I'm Peter Serafin with this week's Liberty Minute and a reminder to use code LIGHTHOUSE at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system this cold and flu season. I am all for the United States having the largest, most expensive military on the planet, but the Pentagon has failed their financial audits 5 years in a row. In the most recent audit, the U.S. military cannot account for over $2 trillion in assets. Maybe the military needs to spend less time trying to understand white rage and trying to force an experimental vaccine on the healthiest people around and start focusing on protecting our nation and her assets. $2 trillion in lost assets is worth investigating. People need to be fired. I say no more budget increases until the Department of Defense fixes their accounting. If you and I failed 5 consecutive audits, we'd be in federal prison. Just like the rest of government, the Pentagon needs to remember that money and those assets belong to we the people. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafin, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Crazy times. Let me see. I saw yesterday. Where is that? Which alert is that? Too many of these things. One of the Google alert things, I think. Did Moderna, Snopes, did Moderna CEO admit to making COVID-19 vaccine before the disease had a name. Not exactly, no. Stefan Bancel did not exactly do that. Stephanie? Is that a man's name? Just kidding. And, you know, Snopes has a Jacinda Ardern post. Did New Zealand PM Jacinda Ardern once say, unless you hear it from us, it's not the truth? You know, there's this kind of stuff floating around, but you can jump on YouTube. There is the Sky News Australia video. Smiling socialist Jacinda Ardern is trying to shut down free speech. More recently, Dave Rubin has a fun entry titled WEF Head appears to actually threaten anyone who fights his agenda. And the description reads, Dave Rubin talks about World Economic Forum head Klaus Schwab appearing to threaten anyone who pushes back against the Davos agenda. John Kerry getting a God complex for fighting climate change. Al Gore freaking out about financial investment in fossil fuels. Yuval Noah Harari wanting people to get ready to live in the virtual reality metaverse. Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla getting excited about microchips you can swallow to make sure you take mandated medicine. Which, you know, is part of what I was intending to get back to earlier this week. The fact that, you know, the COVID stuff and the adverse health effects that seem just kind of everywhere as a result, particularly of the mRNA vaccine stuff, and who knows what's in those. You know, how can we be sure? Well, you know, time will tell. Again, it'll come out in time. But it's interesting that, you know, Yuval Noah Harari said, hey, the one thing, you know, this, you know, what's going to happen is technology is going to go full biotech, full tilt biotech, and it's going to become more invasive. And the one place that we really haven't explored is fully inside the person. So we're going to do that. And what do you know? COVID sure lends itself well to that, doesn't it? Whether it's the fear-mongering that drives people to technologies like Profusa or the health problems that invariably seem to be created as a result of, you know, maybe the COVID, maybe the whatever latest variant, or maybe the vaccine or whatever the latest booster. In any case, this is a burgeoning industry as well. Anyway, Snopes has a cottage industry going on. And, you know, with all of this, you wonder, this was never a thing. Why is this a thing now? Because it's a psychological operation. This is kind of the front lines of psychological warfare. You put out a straw man or some sort of derivation thereof, and then you tip it. And as people are trying to acknowledge the reality of what's going on, invariably there will be intermixed in the things that people try to express and pass along to each other, these straw men that can be tipped over and therefore, you know, thereby sort of discrediting message and messenger along the way. And that obviously adding to and fueling the frustration that people feel and the animosity between people. And, you know, there is a battle going on. Jimmy Dore just did a video titled John Stewart Finally Admits He Questioned the Vax. Stick around, we'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Jacinda Ardern thing in a minute. Man, so much stuff going on. Crazy stuff. What are you talking about? What are you thinking? For example, no more electric vehicles in Wyoming. There's a story on RBN. Speaking of electric vehicles, Tesla Model S that caused a pileup in San Francisco had full self-driving engaged. I don't know about you, but the photograph in the tunnel reminds me of iRobot. You are experiencing an accident. So, there's something, you know, I don't know. I think of, you know, all of the books, you know, I think, who was it, Isaac Asimov that wrote iRobot, and the Philip K. Dick stuff, and the, Robopocalypse series. I don't think that, you know, which was the movie? You read these things, you watch these movies, it never turns out well. So, anyway, I want to unpack the Jacinda Ardern thing in a minute. But first, when it comes to Jacinda Ardern, I think the defining moment, in my opinion, was well into the COVID shenanigans, right before the vaccine was rolled out in October of 2021. She said this. Remember this? Go ahead, please.
So you basically said this is going to be like, well, it's almost like you probably don't see it like this. The two different classes of people, if you're vaccinated or if you're unvaccinated, you have all these rights. If you are vaccinated...
That is what it is. So, yep. Yep.
Can you describe this?
Okay. Basically, you know, said it's going to be like two classes of people. If you're vaccinated, you have all of these rights. Those are privileges, not rights. And if you're unvaccinated, you know, you can take a hike. And she says just plainly, yeah, that's what it is. So, yep, mm-hmm, yep. The traffic light system. Green means go, red means stop. I don't know. That's a defining moment. Kind of like in my mind, I think of Donald Trump saying, well, you know, maybe we'll just take the guns first and what? Excuse me? That was a defining moment in my mind. So her saying this is a defining moment in my mind. And for that matter, I think we can go back to other entries. We've talked about stuff. There's a post, first posted, I believe, over at antiempire.com, anti-empire.com. Over there it was titled, How is the Davos World Economic Forum involved in the coronavirus pandemic? It's an excellent post, November 18, 2021, and posted by the Swiss Policy Research. And, you know, the subtitle is, what do Pete Buttigieg, Gavin Newsom, Chrystia Freeland, Jose Manuel Barroso, Angela Merkel, Nicolas Sarkozy, Nikki Haley, Nimrata, Jeff Bezos, Peter Thiel, Mark Zuckerberg, Jacinda Ardern, Gordon Brown, Ellipsis, et so many all have in common? What do they have in common? And this was reposted over at the Algora blog, nonfiction for the nonplussed, as they say. Davos World Economic Forum Psychopaths, Members and Goals is what it's titled over there. And it's pretty informative. The global leaders of for tomorrow becomes young global leaders. How many people are familiar with this story? How can someone like Jacinda Ardern be a media darling? It is beyond me. I do not understand it. So, you know, there's that post. There's, you know, her page over at World Economic Forum, people Jacinda Ardern. How does she emerge? Just listen to her bio on the World Economic Forum. I think, you know, as I have said many times, if we're going to vote, if we're going to, you know, there is a, I think there's a value and a benefit. If you do, you know, let's just walk down that path for a moment. You know, there is the argument that voting doesn't matter, doesn't change anything. I would not dispute that for a variety of reasons, coming from a variety of angles. However, if we do, then no one can say, well, you know, this is a participatory democracy. No participation means, you know, those kinds of silly things. You can prove, hey, look, millions of people voted. What did it do? What did it change? We still have in most elections, for example, candidates who are sort of foisted upon the people. You can choose, you know, what we hear as the lesser evil. Why are we choosing evil? The lesser of two evils. Why are we choosing between evils? Well, that's the first question. But if we're going to go down that path, then let's establish some standards of excellence, shall we? Well, we can't do that. You know, you've probably been to these meetings, I know I have, where people want to say, well, you know, he's the closest thing, she's the closest thing we've got to, you know, out of, oh, come on, Chris, you know, out of a wish list of 100 things, you know, he gets them almost all right. She gets them all almost right. Almost all right. You know, he only misses on two or three. She only misses on two or three. Yeah, but those are kind of essential. And if we go two or three here and two or three there, eventually what happens? Don't we kind of, by degrees, it's pretty easy to see that, you know, I mean, what's 180 divided by 3? How long does it take to be headed in the opposite direction 3 degrees at a time? So, you know, in terms of a standard of excellence, Exodus 18:21 is, I would say, pretty much it. I mean, that's a benchmark. You shall select out of the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place these over them as leaders. That's it. I mean, I could just leave it there. And, you know, we hear about qualified experience. I think Exodus 18:21 qualifies you, period. If you're not well versed in public administration, even better. Because usually the expertise and experience that comes along with public administration means that you are, you know, you understand how the wheels get greased. So anyway, Jacinda Ardern, obviously a young global leader, her glowing World Economic Forum page description, or bio, whatever. Bachelor's in Professional Communication, University of Waikato, former advisor, Office of the New Zealand Prime Minister, Helen Clark, then worked in London for the British Cabinet Office. Also volunteered at a soup kitchen in New York. Okay, is that important to volunteer at a soup kitchen once? Reaching. 2008, entered New Zealand's parliament at age of 26. 2017 became the youngest ever leader of the Labour Party. Youngest ever leader of the Labour Party. I don't want to jump ahead too much, but for someone who says, you know, elected as the youngest leader ever, how did she run out of gas already? You know, if you don't have a full tank. Really? You don't have a full tank? You go, what did she say? go as long as you give all for all you can for as long as you can, and when it's time, it's time. You gave all you could for as long as you could. I mean, interesting. Only 2 months after assuming the leadership, led the party to electoral victory and was sworn in as prime minister, heading a three-party government involving the New Zealand First Party and the Greens. Yay, socialists. Yay, communists. Yay, communitarians. I feel, you know, she's proving Hayek right, that socialism was, from its beginnings, frankly, authoritarian. And could be put into practice only by strong dictatorial government. As Saint Simon even predicted, those who did not obey his proposed planning boards would be treated as cattle. Doesn't that kind of sound like what she said? It sounds like a two-tier system. It sounds like a traffic light system where, you know, red means stop, green means go. Yep, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Authoritarian. It has to go that way. I don't want to belabor the point, but if you are a totalitarian in whatever varying shade, then you have to decide for people. That's the way it goes. The Bible says that we should all decide for ourselves and choose wisely, because we will each give account for ourselves and our decisions. Every idle word, Jesus said. And so that sort of betokens a soberness of mind. Conversely, if you have someone playing God and creating a nanny state and a planned economy and a planned this and a planned that, then you end up crippling people, sort of anesthetizing them from the concept of their own responsibility and accountability. Continuing with this bio, Jacinda Ardern's World Economic Forum bio. Currently the youngest woman elected head of, you know, this kind of stuff always gets me. If I put on my bio somewhere, like if I'm running for office or get elected, currently the youngest white man ever elected, people like, whoa, what's up, racist? Why are you not? What is the term? Not misogynistic, but you know, for ladies, why is that not applicable here? Currently, the youngest woman. I'm not saying we should do that. I'm just pointing out the hypocrisy, the absurdity of the hypocrisy, and how, you know, cultural Marxism implicitly, again, meta context. Just the statement, currently the youngest woman elected, even though we can't define what a woman is, head of government in the world, and only the second elected head of government to have had a baby while in office. Well, men can have babies too, so what's your point? I mean, this is the absurdity of where we're at. Just an absolute mishmash of nonsense. This is an incredibly, you know, volunteer to the soup kitchen, currently the youngest woman elected head of government, but she's already out of steam? What happened? And had a baby while in office. Well, hopefully not while in office. You know, hopefully she was somewhere else, but I mean, it's just absurd. Utterly absurd. Also holds the role of Minister for National Security and Intelligence, Minister of for Arts, Culture, and Heritage, of course. She's a UNESCO front. And Minister for Child Poverty Reduction. So we'll unpack the announcement in a subsequent segment here, but this, what people would probably term woke bio, is ridiculous. It's insulting to anyone who, you know, would be presumed a constituent This is ridiculous. There's nothing substantive here, really. She's a poster child for the WEF Young Global Leaders, as she has proven. Does she deserve grace? I don't know. Mercy triumphs over judgment, but you will be judged by the standard you judge. So if she's been harsh, you know, I'm sure she could definitely use people's prayers, misguided Satanist that she is. Anyway, we'll unpack the resignation announcement shortly. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
When I mention our names, like Mrs. Merkel, even Vladimir Putin and so on, they all have been young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. But what we are very proud of now, the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina and so on, that we penetrate the cabinets. So yesterday I was at a reception for Prime Minister Trudeau, and I know that half of this cabinet, or even more, half of this cabinet are actually young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
And that's true in Argentina, too. Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's true in Argentina as well.
It's true in Argentina, and it's true in France now. Mm-hmm. I'm here with the president, who is a young global leader, but what is important for...
It's true just about everywhere. Klaus Schwab with David Gergen, and Kennedy School of Government talk. Back in what, 2021? No. Was that 2017, I want to say? Anyway, this has been going on for decades already. And, you know, a lot of folks, according to the World Economic Forum itself, young global leaders, Anderson Cooper, Leo DiCaprio, Tulsi Gabbard, Pete Buttigieg, obviously, Jacinda Ardern, Daniel Sachs, Emmanuel Macron, Zuckerberg, Dan Crenshaw. Oh, no, wait, don't associate me with those guys. Well, then why did World Economic Forum have you listed on their website as, you know, being affiliated with the young global leaders? David de Rothschild and many others. Silviu Constantescu did a good post about this back in 2021, June 9th, 2021, over at silviu.media. Klaus Schwab's youth is called Young Global Leaders. You know, the Hitler Youth is what it is. Ready for regime change in unaligned countries. This is, you know, I mean, history is repeating right out in plain sight. Constantescu opens his post that I just mentioned with a quote, Edward Snowden, the greatest conspiracies are in plain sight. And, you know, this is it. So the point that I was making with regard to this stuff is if you are one of these people, if you've been affiliated with the World Economic Forum, no one should ever vote for you. You should not hold public office. If you're a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, you should not hold office. You should not influence office. That's even worse, because then there's no neck to grab on the influence. Maybe that's what it should be. Maybe if you're going to be a part of the Council on Foreign Relations, you cannot be influencing elected leaders, cabinet members, appointees, etc. You can be the neck to grab. You can run for office, and you know what? We'll find out what you're really made of and who you really are. Otherwise, you know, but in all seriousness, no. No shaping, no influencing, no persuading. Get out, stay out, don't let the door hit you in the rear end. That should be the mindset of every mentally stable, well-adjusted American. No Council on Foreign Relations, no World Economic Forum, no Trilateral Commission, none. None of them. Zero. Stick around. We'll be right back. Second hour coming up right after this short break.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.